I am very humble as I stand before you and God today. And you know that. I feel honored that I have been selected or chosen among those men that have come before me and spoke on this lectureship. It's been good. And then, of all things, Brother Banks, we're talking. He said, you're closing out the lectureship. And your topic is battlefields. What? Battlefields? What do you want? You'll figure it out. Okay. And so it reminded me, and I told Keith this here a few weeks ago, of the old preacher that I heard of that years ago, who would preach and couldn't read. And on this one morning, his wife, she would always read his text. And he'd get up and preach. So on this one Sunday morning, she read the text from Genesis, it's the 22nd chapter. I forget the verse. But it regards to Abraham's sister-in-law. And he said, 8 sons did Milcah bear. Huh? Run that by me again. 8 sons did Milcah bear. Okay. So he gets up. Our text is from Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Give the verse. 8 sons did Milcah bear. He said there's 3 points in our lesson this morning. He said it tells us that there were giants in those days. And secondly, it shows cooperation. They cooperated together. And the third point is it shows progression. We don't milk bears today, we milk cows. So now I know why Brother Brad said you're going to close it out and talk about battles. There's so many battles that goes on in our homes. I said to my wife, how am I going to bring it down and talk about battles that goes on in families? I can't mention all of them. I said I can talk about adultery. I can talk about father being the head of the family. I can go on and on and on and not accomplish anything. So I have written down some things. You know, I'm older now. Pushing 75. God has blessed me. My memory don't work as long as like it did at one time. My eyes don't see as good as they did one time. Better now since I had surgery. My teeth clap a little bit every once in a while. You know what I'm talking about. But you know, that's the way it is. And I'm glad it's that way. That's the way God made me. So I think about it and things I've read in times past, and I'm I can't give you the things maybe that you need, but I can challenge you, all right? In the way that God would want His family to be, to love for each other, to care for each other, and to be together. All that's needed today. Out in the world, you see there are pessimistic prophets. And for many years, and I can say that now, for many years they have predicted the total doom of marriage and the family as humanity knew it. when God put together that first family, when he made his beautiful creation, Adam and Eve. And so we would be less, if I can use that term, be less than a realist, anyone would he to deny that today's family is in serious jeopardy. It is. I see it in my neighborhoods. I see it in families that call me weeping and crying and want to know what they can do. That's the way it is today. Oh, Satan, the greatest enemy that anyone will ever have, he has made havoc of the family in the way God would have it for many years, even since Adam and Eve. You see, there are so many permissive things now being allowed that our children are associated with every day. And the family must battle each day that we live. Is it getting better? Not really. But it can get better. I don't want to preach doom and gloom today. I want to tell you when I end this lesson that there is hope. But that hope begins with God's people, not with those humanistic things that's going on in our school systems today. Everything is all right. It's not all right unless it's according to God's will and the plan that God had for the beginning for families. And you see, there's no better way that Satan can destroy families, churches, nations, than by destroying the family and leading them away from the way that God wanted it to be. So I looked at that paper, Brad, and you said, you know, we must choose our battles right. So that gave me something to go by. So first of all, and you'll say, why in the world did Ray choose this? First of all, we must make wise decisions between vanities and virtues. It's got to be, if we are to elevate and be the family that God wants us to be. It's got to be in our decisions that we want to be God-fearing, God-loving families. If vanities and vices take all precedence over virtues, sensuality is currently today in a death struggle with purity. Brother Mike said something about that earlier. Some of the other men said something about that earlier. It seems that sensuality is in and purity is out. I say that because it's the way it is. So there's a battle going on. This is one reason, one of many, that we must choose wisely in rearing our children. You're looking at an individual as God looks at him. And I feel sometimes I'm so unworthy to talk about the subject I'm going to talk about. I raised God-loving, God-fearing children the way I wanted them to be. I read where it said, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. and I put my heart in it. I put my life in it. And I taught. Not only by word, but by example. And I begin to realize now, that's a good beginning to train up a child in the way that he should go. But it's not a guarantee that they are going to be faithful to God all the days of their lives. That they're going to be that pure child that you taught them to be. Because when they get older, they'll make choices and some depart, regardless of how much you try. That's the battle that's going on in many, many families of the Lord's church today. But purity is a must that we must put in the lives of our children. You see, Jesus said it like this, blessed or happy or what? The pure in heart. So that purity in the parents must be real. It must be genuine. It must be true to the Word of God, the way that God would have us to be. Living what we want our children to be. But Satan wants us to do different. I read the other day in one of our Christian journals that today that even they are finding out that ministers are getting on the internet and looking at that pornography in which they're teaching their children that they shouldn't do. Two standards. And it won't work. It will not work. I must maintain in my life purity if I want my children to be, because children are smart. Smarter than we think. I find out now, years later, that my daughter said things that I sneaked out at night. I didn't know that. Yes, they're smart. By all means, we must teach them to be pure. Then secondly, we need to choose wisely in keeping our families together. Together, not apart and separate, but together. Thanksgiving. I not only have just my family, I have 40 people usually come to eat dinner. I bring them from where I hunt, come and eat, invite them in. Family, friends, togetherness, it's so important. You see, separateness wars against the spirit of togetherness. Except for an occasion meal. Now listen to me. I'm speaking from what I see, what I observe. Except for an occasional meal and a few sleeping hours, families today are never under the same roof. How can there be a growing togetherness in an environment like that? How can it be? I weep sometimes. Yes, this old man weeps a lot. As I see all this in families, the husband's going this way, the wife's going that way, children are going that way. No togetherness, no communication. I think back to those days when the time was that the family would gather in the evening around the table They would read the scripture and have prayer at that table and eat a meal together. They would discuss the affairs of the day around that table. Do you have any problems? And those parents sat and listened to those children. And beloved, let me challenge you today, listen to what they're saying. Get back around the table. Oh, I'm going to tell you a story. This happened not recently. I got a call on Thursday. Oh, somewhere around 9 o'clock at night. Parent was weeping. I need you. Why? Why? What's wrong? My daughter has decided that she's a lesbian. What a shock. What a shock. As I think back over the years, she'd been crying out for many a year, help me. Even had it on her internet. And they hadn't caught a hold of it. Too busy. Too many other things to do. Oh, what a blessing. Oh, what I think of those children that God blesses us with. He places them in our hands to mold them and to make them what they're supposed to be. And to know that this happened and I'm not aware of it. And to find out that she was in a school that's supposed to be a conservative school that had a homosexual club. Humanism. To the fullest everything goes. Listen to me. Find out what your school is all about that your children are going to. I made this statement the other day. I said if I was rearing my children over, I would either teach them at home, they'd go to a private school, and especially if I could find a Christian school, they would go there, and I would work three jobs to see that they did it. Children, families, never together. I remember years ago, now listen to me, I'm not picking on anyone, but I can remember a time when there was a family that when it was time for the church to meet, it was more important for their children to go and work at a job than to come to worship with God and His people. And today they're reaping the results of it, and you know who they blame? The church. It's not the church's responsibility. Yes, they help me in guiding my children. But it's my responsibility, and they're going to be what I make them turn out to be. By my example, and by my love and concern for them. So you see, we must keep our families together. One of the hardest things I've ever done in my life is leave home. I left home in the hills of Kentucky. Everybody knew everybody. Everybody looked out for everybody. Barbara tells you she had five or six fathers after hers died. And I got to Columbus, Ohio, and you mentioned that this morning. Down on Broad Street, I looked up at all them lights and all them houses. I called my sister and I said, I believe I'm having a heart attack. I wanted to go home. I wanted to be back where I knew everybody. But today, families hardly know each other. There's a battle, and Satan is using it, and God is telling us, choose wisely, bind them together, let Jesus and His love, like that little band around that chewing gum, it keeps it fresh. Let Jesus be that band around your family. Keep them together. Now, if I can see where I left off. You see, Satan wants the family to be divided. Even in the church of the Lord, and when I see all the things that's caused division and the dividing of the family, and I think in the church of the Lord, when we have a junior church and taking our young people away from their parents during worship service, it's causing division in that family. Now there it is, I said it. Families no longer come together in the car. They have three. Mom's in one, dad's in one, and they split the children up with the other one. I love those days when my children were in the car and my wife was crying and complaining and fighting with them. But regardless, let me tell you, they were together. They were together. It's not like that anymore. Not like that. We're all separated. You see the precious precepts and principles of Deuteronomy 6. Moses would say, the Lord has decreed or said, I'm paraphrasing these things. It's been said in every lesson almost. To love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love God. Brethren, we can't teach our children to love God when other activities come before God and His worship services and in serving Him. It's not going to work. It's a battle. You know who can change it? Parents. Nobody else is going to do it for you. It takes the parents to correct it and take care of that battle. If there ever was a mother that I can read and respect, was that virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. She went afore to get things and to prepare it so her children could be fed and they could be kept warm and taken care of, and her husband would show her honor for it. We need those kind today. I look around me today. I was so proud 2 days ago. This little girl come visit next door. I know it's my gray hair. And I'm walking back up the driveway to get my, been to get the mail. And she said, hi, Papa. I said, hi, sweetheart. How are you today? Children need to be together with their parents. That togetherness. And so, you see, Ephesians, I want to read this passage because it tells us the way God wants it. Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Wow, what a challenge. Let me ask you, do you love your wife like that, husbands? Do you love them that much? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. If it would be, I think that it would help keep families together and would be that kind. But let's read further. Let's look in Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents. How? In the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, that it may be, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with thee, and thou might live long on the earth. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord in the fear of God. I grew up, brought up, reared up, ever how you want to put it, in a family that my dad was a Baptist preacher. And I can remember when he says, "Ray, do this." I might ignore it. But when he said, "Ray Bob," I jumped too, because I knew what was going to happen. My mother wasn't a Christian, but there was something about my mother that I'll never forget, and that's the love and care. They always said I was the pet. I don't know. There was 12 of us kids. Little house with 3 bedrooms. Now that's togetherness. That's right. That is togetherness. You know what, today, although religiously we're separate, but as a family, we're still together. Some have changed. I had a sister pass away a couple years ago. She died in the Lord, and I'll always be thankful for that. But see, togetherness, we know each other. It's like my wife. I know my wife. You know, when we got married, I didn't know her. Brad, I didn't. I got out of the Marine Corps. We moved in this little house. And I got up that morning, and I looked on the table. There was eggs and bacon and a piece of toast. What's this? Where's the biscuits? Where's the gravy? See? I didn't know. But now, after 53 years, I know her. If there's one person that's kept our family together, it's my wife. With the help of God and the church. Togetherness is so important. See if I got anything else. Read 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, when you get there, and I'll guarantee you that when you read it in these scriptures, you cannot find family separateness. You'll find togetherness. So listen to me. We must make wise decisions and choose wisely to keep our families together in God's grace, in His church, and that family will stay together. We must choose wisely in regards to selfishness. You'd wonder where I'm going to get there, didn't you? Huh? Do you know that selfishness causes more marital problems than anything else? Selfishness. You see, selfishness says, "Serve me." It never says, "What can I do for you?" That's selfishness. Selfishness. It is opposed to Bible teaching. Let me serve you. And to be a servant, you know, to be a servant of selfishness, it destroys marital happiness and disrupts family harmony. There's harm to it. The golden rule, we all know what it says. Do unto others as what? As you would have them do unto you. It works both ways. I serve you, and you'll be glad to serve me, right? I raised 3 children. It took me a while, but I figured out there's 3 different people. 3 different personalities. Had to teach each one in a different way. The selfishness, I didn't teach them. We taught them to share what they had. They didn't have all the glamorous things that they had today. You know, I want to start right here and say something. It might get me in trouble. I've been known to do that. I hope not. You know, we're talking about selfishness. I guess I grew in that era when the Depression just closed. My parents gave me and my other sisters and brothers what they could. And out of that, there grew up a generation of people that said, I'm going to give my children more than what my parents gave me. They are going to have it better. And it was done at the expense of not telling them about Jesus. And out of that came a generation of people filled with selfishness. Not all by them, but some. One woman made the statement, my children are not going to be treated like I was. They can do what they want to. And that family grew up, and today they're still corrupt. That's free. That's what's happened. Selfishness. Children in a store. Have you ever seen that? If they don't get what they want, Brad, they lay down and they kick their feet and they scream until they get what they want. Not what they need. They need that. That's what they need. Choose wisely when you raise these children. I told you earlier, they're smart. Selfishness destroys a lot of things. It destroys marriages. It destroys homes. It destroys congregations. Selfishness. Wants what can I get, not in what I can give. I can tell you, and some of the people here that the Georgia, she heard me preach my first sermon, I embarrassed my wife so bad she wanted to crawl under the pew. Right, Georgie? Georgie remembers that. Yeah. But my life has been from the day I obeyed the gospel is to do all I can to the upbuilding of the church of our Lord and to go to heaven and take people with me. Serve. Be a servant. You talked about that later earlier. Be a servant. But you know what we say? I don't have time. I'm tired of hearing I don't have time. You know what? When I was working, I worked in the factory most of my life. But I worked. I don't have time. I said, when I retire, I'm going to have so much time. I'm going to do so much for the Lord. Now I'm so old, I can't. And that's going to happen to all of those today that are younger saying, one of these days, I'm going to do it. The sad thing is, this is all the time that we have. All that we have to work and to serve the Lord. Keep our family together. Go to church together. Yes, it's important for children to go to sports if that's their desire. but not the expense of forsaking the assembly of the Lord. Togetherness and all. I took my son. My wife still mad at me when I was an umpire. Bless her heart, she just can't forget it. I called him out at second base, she still said it's safe. But you see, now listen to me. He played on Wednesday night, but he played the first three innings and he went to Bible study. Why? God first, church first. Not second, not third. Togetherness. Do away with that selfishness. He knew, the coach knew, he's not going to be here if he's going to bat last. See? Getting our priorities. Do away with this selfishness. We teach our kids that it's all right. That's right. When we ourselves forsake the assembly, they're going to do the same thing. And their children's going to do the same thing. Why? Because we're selfish and we don't want to give that little precious hour to the Lord. Selfishness. I look around me today. We have, I start saying that word. Elected officials. It seems no longer, they're not concerned about our families. They're not concerned about truth. They're not concerned about God. It's what they can get while they're there. And we find ourselves sometimes so selfish. There's nothing in the world. Now my kids, yes, they've got in trouble. God. But I'll guarantee you that Daddy and Mommy was there when they needed them. Was I ashamed of some of the things you do? Yes, I almost crawled in so nobody wouldn't see me. Yeah. But they'll never say Mommy and Daddy was not there. We were not too selfish with our time to spend it with our children. We went on vacations together. If I went to another congregation, we went together. If I went for a gospel meeting, we went together. Togetherness, not selfishness, that divides. Then let's see, I got about another 5 minutes, I believe. So let's see where I could sort this thing out. Okay, I knew I'd get there sooner or later. Oh, this is a gooder, they said, say now home. It's a gooder. You know, that's a good word. It's almost like pertinent. Somebody said, what's that? I said, you're almost there. No, you know, and so those kind of words. Permanent commitment in marriage. It must choose wisely when it comes to marriage, choosing a marriage. Somehow, I don't know how, but somehow, God put me and Barb together. We knew nothing about marriage. All we knew is that you grow up, you get married, you buy a home, raise a family, and then you die. That's about it. No premarital counseling. That's just the way it was. Somehow God placed us together. And then later on, through her, and some neighbors and good friends at Willowdale brought us together in Christ. Yeah. Today, you know how long marriages last? One of those country singers, he got married and he was divorced the next day. Get in and get out. But that's not the way God intended for it to be. What God has joined together, Now, can I say that again? What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Today, there's such a light. I don't know how to put this, but I'll get there. So much of living together with no commitment. No commitment. Just get together. Live together. It's all right. And I'll guarantee you somewhere the church accepts it. Somewhere. It's not right. God never intended for it to be. He said, a man shall leave you at home. What? He gets his wife and cleaves unto her. They become one flesh. That's the way God intended it to be. And he wanted them to be committed together. And for that, as long as they lived, and only thing was to separate them was death. And then Jesus added, what? Unfaithfulness. Not long ago, preacher over in, not one church, a preacher, was doing a marriage. A friend of mine was there. And he said, Ray, you're not going to believe what he said. He said, all I ask of you, give it your best shot. Give it your best shot. One preacher one time said, stay together as long as there's love. No. It's more serious than that. God said, until death do you part. He said, you grow together, you adapt together, you live together, you raise a family together. And I'm telling you, that's a battle that's going on today, not only in the world, but in the church of our Lord. Many places. Longevity is out. Short term is in. God forbid. I got to tell you something about my mom. My mom, she could read and write. Right. Back then, very few people could. My dad could. He had an 8th grade education. That was good back then. Someone said, Ray, did you ever get any advice about marriage? Now listen to me. My wife, my mother had wisdom. She said, I want you to know that when you get married, you choose a mate that you can spend your life, all of your life with. And when she's on that side of the table, you're on this side of the table, you can see her face to face. And as you grow old, that face stays beautiful. And Barb, you're still beautiful. My sex education was less for my mom, not for my dad. She said, don't you ever go out with a girl that you are ashamed to be seen with. Don't do it. Don't do that. And when you do go out with a girl, you treat her the same way you want that individual to treat your sister. Isn't that good? And she said, keep your pants zipped up. That was better yet. Now that was my sex education. And it was good. It was great. No big story. In other words, keep yourself the way you're supposed to be for that woman that you're going to marry, and may get that one that's beautiful. I don't know. I didn't say what I started to say, Barb, you'd leave me. But get that one that is beautiful that you're not ashamed of. God bless me. I'll go and walk with Christian. Casey, bless me. I couldn't have found a better helpmate to help me in my family life. But you see, permanence of marriage. Our Lord tells us, till death do we part. So take it serious. Teach your children to take it serious. I'm working with my grandchildren now. Yes. But you know what? I've done a lot of marriages. They used to call me Marrying Sam. You know who I'm talking about, right? Little Abner. Every time I turn around, Ray, you're doing a wedding. Yeah. I've done Catholics, didn't I? Catholic. Still together. I told Larry when we're sitting there waiting to go in, I said, now's your time to leave, because if you go in there, it's to all your life. It's your time to go. Yes. Did I not say that, Catholic? Yes, I did. It's not afterwards, it's before. Choose wisely in the permanence of marriage. It's important, that's the way God wants it. Oh, he wants it to last. Tend it for it to last. The world might go that way, but God's people don't. Choose wisely when you choose that mate. I wish I'd known all this before I got married. Now I can share it with you after I've learned it. Great. Okay. What do I got down here? I'm going to close here. The vanity, I want to add this in there before I leave. We'll skip this part about society. And, you know, they kind of, when Barb said, somebody said, Ray and I have been married 52 years. Oh, that's a long time. They can't even in our society today imagine two people staying together for 50 years. They don't understand it. But nevertheless, that's the way God intended for it to be. Not society, but God. And now the vanity of the twosome arrangement wars against the virtue of the threesome concept. I borrowed this from some writer. I don't know who it was. It's not mine. I borrowed it. I like it. So I use it. I'm a thief. Okay? You see, marriage to many today is a straight line with husband at one end and the wife at the other. Instead, it should be a triangle with God at the top angle and the mate at the other. God up at the top. Mate here and a mate here. That's the way I'd like that. Marriage involves God, man and woman. Marriage is for those who love God and love one another. And that's how Brother Thomas B. Warren expressed it in the topic of marital success. He said it's a triangular success. Family success is triangular success. Family success is of the same shape. God is at the top. Righteous parents is at one angle. Obedient, respectful children occupy the other. And I like that. I did. The family cannot survive when the devil's destructive deeds are in. I like this too. When they're in, it can't last. Satan and the subtle serpent were the foes who had disregarded the harmonious life of Adam and Eve, as we read in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. They did it by discrediting God's word, creating dissatisfaction with existing conditions, questioning the truthfulness of imposed law, and by bringing into play the lust of aroused flesh. And the lust of enticed eyes and the pearls of pride. So it is today that Satan still has his sights set on marriage and total collapse of the home. Today he has a string of destructive deeds that work havoc with the home life. Now let's see if I can name them. There is divorce, desertion, drinking, and drugs. the 4 D's that destroy many of home, and Satan uses it in every way that he can. Well, why are you telling me that? My children, I'm raising them up. I'm telling you that I sat and cried with the family one night. His son come home, and he was so drugged out. He never expected his son to do that, and he didn't know how to handle it. One of those things, that's why I said earlier, be sure you know where your children are at. Be sure you know who they're with. It might be a member of the church and still get your child in trouble. I'm saying know who your children are with. Know that you're going to teach them that when they get married like my mom did, it's as long as you and her live. It's not short term. It's building, working together, and building that. Now, after I said all this very hurriedly, yes. In all that I've said today, can the family survive? And I say yes, 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 it can. And it is in many families. They're surviving. In spite of all the tactics Satan puts out there, the family can survive if the imperative L's are in. L's. This means that marriage and the home must be built on the Lord. On the Lord. Not on things, but on the Lord. Must realize that marriage is a threesome arrangement. God at the top angle, husband and wife should form the base angles of success in marriage triangles. Marriage must be built on love. Love. You know what? I told Barb, when we got married, I just look at her and I said, I love you. Yeah, you know how we are. I love you. Well, you know what? I didn't even know what love was. But I know I want to be with her. I want her to be a part of my life. And I love you. To the point that she said, you didn't ask me to marry me. You just gave me a ring. Yeah. Uh-huh. But I know I did on that starlight night moon. But you see, it's important, these things that I'm trying to talk about. Love. Love is a strong word. Love binds us together, and it grows, and it grows to the point now I know that I love God. Same way with the Lord. I don't have to guess. I know I love the Lord, and he knows that I'm going to do everything that I can to make him see that I love him by serving him in every way that I can. Love. Love. God and for my family. This is the stately type of love that seeks the highest and greatest good for its avowed object and affection. All married couples should read 1 Corinthians 13. Love is not puffed up. Love does not, you know, think evil or anything like that. Love is what love is, Paul says. Read it when you get home. Every married couple ought to read it often. Loyalty is another one of the L's. The marital vow demands it. Married family security in its absence, you see. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. You know, Barb and I can honestly say this, and she's looking at me, ready to go under the floor, and she's saying, time, but I got to say it. That's me. Yeah. Now I forgot what I was going to say. No, I want to when I get home, and I don't have to guess. Barb and I trust each other, and she doesn't call me when I go to visit someone. She trusts me, and neither do I her. And this month, we, for the first time, took separate vacations. She went to Florida, I went to Alabama. So I called her and told her I'm in a tornado, and she said, guess what? I'm out here in the sunshine, bathing. See? Loyalty. Yes. Trust in one another. Loyalty is something that must, it's a must. Longevity must become again the goal of marriage partners. Family life can be preserved if we choose wisely. Let Christ be the center of our lives and serve Him. And I'm going to shut up. My wife said she'd give me that sign. And so I'm going to quit. And again, I feel so honored to be over. I know so many people here love you so dearly. You've been a part of my life, some of you, for many years. And I appreciate you so very, very much. And thanks for letting this old man come and speak today.